It's a joy to be able to talk to young people. That's how I began many years ago, 49 years. And it was young people that I loved to speak to and help. Thank the Lord for all the young people He has given us in this church. I want to just go back to what we sang a little while ago, asking the Lord to rekindle or relight the lamp of our first love. It's so possible. First of all, I trust that those of you listening to me are born again, that you have repented of your sins. If not, I hope by the end of this meeting that you will really seek to repent of your sins and be born again, and then it would make sense what I have on my heart to share with you. But like we sang in the last meetings, for those of you who know the Lord and you know that you are part of God's kingdom, part of God's family, maybe your love has grown cold. It's good to see why. And I hope that as we sang that song, that was a prayer that you really ask the Lord to restore and renew your first love. You know the seven churches that Jesus wrote to in Revelation? Five of those churches He had to censor. That means He had to reprimand them for some things that were wrong. Seven churches there, but only five of them He had to censor. The two churches, Smyrna and Philippi, the Lord never had anything to correct there. They were wonderful churches. It must have been really wonderful there in Smyrna and Philippi. And the Lord just told them to be faithful, that He was in control of everything. They were suffering persecution. But I want you to see that five churches, if you look at them, I hope you read the Bible, I hope you study the scriptures. As young people, you should. That's what I did right in the very beginning of my Christian life. I had an insatiable hunger for God's Word. I say that. It's never left in me all through the years. And there'll be times when I'm busy and all that. But some of the other, I would, if it's even 2 o'clock in the morning that I have to read the Word, I would go to the Word of God. So I've had a hunger, and I hope that that is what's characteristic of your life, that you have a hunger for God's Word. If you don't, there's something wrong. It's like a baby who doesn't cry for milk, doesn't feel hungry. You know what will happen to that baby, it'll die. And Peter tells us that, you know, as newborn babies, we are to long for the sincere milk of the Word. So I hope you have a desire to not just read, but to study and meditate on God's Word. I want to tell you that that's what's helped me in 49 years, to really get to know God, help me to grow. You cannot grow if you're not giving yourself to the study of the Scriptures. You're not meditating on it day and night. God will bless everything else you do. You cannot say you're too busy. We are busy, but we can find time. We find time to eat, isn't it? We eat at least 3 meals a day, so you should find time to get spiritual food from heaven. To get, like Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So I hope you study the Scriptures. And If you look at these letters that Jesus wrote to these seven churches, five of them he had to reprimand and censor. If you look at those five churches, there is a retrogression, you know, and that means there's a decline. If you look at them as a whole, they were individual churches that Jesus had to write to. But the Holy Spirit, if you see something there, you see it, a decline, right up to the last fifth church, the church in Laodicea. The first church in Ephesus that Jesus had to write to, he says, you know, I have something against you. Commended them for many things there. He says, I know your deeds, your toil and perseverance. You cannot tolerate evil men, and you put to test those who call themselves apostles and they are not, and you found them to be false. Your perseverance, you have endured for my name's sake. You have not grown weary, but I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen and repent. That's the message that Jesus wrote through John to the church in Ephesus. Repent and do the deeds you did at first. That means deeds of love. Now they are dead works you're doing. Maybe you're doing things from the church. Like I said earlier, maybe you've sacrificed time, you do many things, inconveniences you. But you do it because you have to do it. It's not out of love. You know, it's something different when you do something, when you do it out of love, or when you do it because you have to do it. Makes a big difference. And that's what happened to this church. They lost their first love. And, you know, Jesus tells them, I'm about to remove your lampstand from your midst. That means I'm going to, about to remove the testimony as a church. You know, these seven churches were, read earlier, they were in the hand of Jesus. They were seven lampstands. There's no mother church. These were all individual churches. And Jesus said, if you don't repent and put things right and do the deeds you did at first, deeds of love, I'm going to remove your lampstand. And in all the letters he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Always it's like, not everybody hears. Even I believe now, not everyone, you're hearing me physically, but there are only few who can hear what God is saying, or want to hear what God is saying. So to such the Holy Spirit writes. So that is that church. And then, you know, you look at the next church, Smyrna, the Lord didn't have anything to say to that church, but then to the church in Pergamum. And he says, I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. You hold fast my name, and so on. But he says, I have a few things against you. There he said, I had one thing against you. Now he says, I have a few things against you. You have some there who have the teaching of Balaam, that is, the love of money and immorality, that's looseness, has crept into your midst. You see the decline there? You can leave your first love, and when we leave our first love, decline comes. We begin to love money. That's what happened to this church. Money became the big thing, the teaching of Balaam, which was a stumbling block, and, you know, looseness, your attitude towards the opposite sex, you know, careless in your thoughts, and, you know, maybe you're addicted to pornography. You're not troubled about it. That's how, you know, and the Lord says to this church, he says, therefore repent. I'm coming to you quickly. And he said, I'll make war against those with the sword of my mouth, that is, with the word of God. So see this decline. And then, you know, in the next church, Thyatira, there they had a woman in their midst, Jezebel. You tolerate the woman Jezebel who calls herself a prophetess. You see the decline? This is what can happen to a church when it loses its first love. And she teaches and leads my bondservants astray, so that they commit acts of immorality. You see where it began? Love of money and looseness towards the opposite sex and impurity. And now it's common thing. They don't think, they think nothing of it. He says, you know, there's a woman in your midst. Maybe she was the elder's wife, but she has a strong woman. And led some of them into immorality. He said, I gave her time to repent. She does not want to repent. You see the decline? You know, always God gives, no matter what our condition is, no matter where, how far we have fallen, God is not interested in pronouncing judgment. He wants to bring us back. He's a God who restores and renews. And He says, I gave her time to repent, but she doesn't want to repent. And this woman, Jezebel, you read about her in the Old Testament. She was an actual woman. She was the wife of a king. She was a queen. And she had control. She had such power over men. And the Lord says, you know, if you don't repent, I'm going to put her on a bed of sickness and all those who have committed immorality with her. You see the decline there, and then you go to the next church, the church in Sardis. In Sardis, it says there, you know, God says to the church, wake up and strengthen the things that remain which are about to die. Because you have a name that you're alive, but you're dead, the Lord says to this leader and to this church. You see where it goes? You lose the first love, love of money, and sexual impurity. All these things come in. And now, a form of godliness. You have a name that you're alive, but you're dead, the Lord says. So, the Lord exhorts this church also. Remember what you have received and heard. Keep it and repent. That's the word that comes, even whatever our condition is, that's the word that comes very clearly. Repent. And if you, any of these things which I'm speaking about is true in your life, you need to repent. If you're running after money, you need to repent. If you're loose with your thoughts, and you're addicted to pornography, and you have secret sin in your life, and your relationship with the opposite sex, nobody knows, and CFC, you're able to hide everything. The Lord's message is repent. Remember what you have heard and repent. You know, we should not have a name that we're alive. And Jesus had to say to this church, you're dead. And there were some, you know, verse 4, there were a few people, and I think they were young people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments. They will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. This is the only place where you read those words, for they are worthy. Few people in Sardis who kept themselves pure were not going to be, you know, they didn't speak about their leader. The leader had a name that he was alive, but he was dead, Jesus said, and perhaps a whole lot of others. But they said, no. You know what we heard earlier in Malachi's day? There were a few who feared God and spoke often to one another. And I want to encourage you, young people, that's the company you should keep. Those who fear God and speak often to one another. And you don't go along with all the gossip and talking about all the latest things in the movies and what you saw on the internet and all these things. And then you have a name that you're alive. Maybe you're doing things for the church. Maybe, you know, you are accepted and recognized. But God says to you, you have a name that you're alive, but you're dead, because there are things in your life that you have not sought to put right. So that is what the Lord says here. But there were a few people, like I was saying, who kept themselves pure, who feared God. And Jesus said, they will walk with me in white. They have not soiled their garments. They said they'll have nothing to do with pornography. They'll have nothing to do with looseness in their relationship with the opposite sex. They're not flirtatious, they would seek to keep themselves pure. Jesus says they are worthy. And lastly, you see how it goes. The last church, you know, the condition. And that's what can happen to you and me. And that's what can happen to us even as a church. You know, to the leader and the church of Laodicea. Jesus says, I know your deeds. You're neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. But because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You see where it began? You know, when Jesus said, I have something against you, you've left your first love. And then you see the decline. All these things come in. You know, that's characteristic of what can happen to your life and mine if we are not careful. If we don't go back to our first love, if we don't repent and say, Lord, I don't love you like I loved you in the beginning. Please help me. I want to humble myself. Please help me. I want to love you like I did in the beginning. So if you don't do anything about it and we continue to live our life, you see the decline. You look at it, you know, when you get time, look at these five churches and what Jesus had to say to them. Lastly, this is the condition. Where is Jesus in this church? Is he in the church of Laodicea? You read your Bibles? Where is Jesus in the church in Laodicea? Was he there in all the meetings? You've seen there? Turn to Revelation 3. I don't think you take time to read the scriptures. Where is Jesus in this church? Can you discover? Where is he? Where is he? Outside the door. You see what happened? What can happen to your life? You know, this is a picture of what can happen to your life and mine if we don't do something in asking God. We can't manufacture it. In seeking the Lord, like I said earlier, Lord, I need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit to come upon me. I need the Holy Spirit to shed abroad in my heart the love of God so that I preserve myself, so that I can be preserved, that you can be in my life, and you don't have to come to this condition where Jesus is outside. He's outside the church. They had their meetings, they had all their good singing, their praise and worship. But Jesus said to this leader and to this church, he says, you're neither hot nor cold, you're lukewarm, and I'm ready to spit you out of my mouth. That is a serious thing. That's what can happen if we as young people, if you as young people, don't take your life seriously. If you don't really repent of all your sin and really ask, if you're addicted, you're in bondage to something that's enslaving you, whatever it is, to seek God, say, Lord, I want to be free. Give me the Holy Spirit. I cannot live this life on earth without the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to be like this, where you're outside my life. You know, Jesus said there, he says, you're naked. You're naked and your nakedness will be revealed to all. One time he was able to protect his name. The leader in the church of Sardis, who was alive, he had a reputation that he was alive, but Jesus said, you're dead. And where does it end up? You see here. You're naked, and not only that, he says, you know, I advise you to buy gold refined by fire, verse 18, so that you may become rich in white garments, so that you may clothe yourself. The shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes, so that you may see. He had become blind, this church had become blind. They didn't even see that Jesus was outside. And Jesus said to this leader and to this church, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. And then he says, behold, I stand at the door. So even if we ever come to that place where Jesus is outside, he stands at the door and knocks. And if anyone, says, anyone hears my voice, anyone, any young boy, any young girl hears my voice, and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. Think of the prodigal. When he came back, he prepared his confession. But he really came to his senses. I don't know where he really repented of the life he lived, but at one point he came to his senses and he came back and he was received. Just exactly like this. He came and the Father welcomed him back. And I want to say to any one of us here, any of you young people, if you're in such a condition, that you have not done anything about your first love. Something else or someone else has become your first love today. Maybe your job, maybe some person, maybe money is a big thing for you, maybe you want to come up in life, that's a big thing for you. I want to really encourage you to repent. Ask the Lord, Lord, restore the love I had for you in the beginning. Bring me back. Don't want to come to this place where you will spit me out of your mouth. And open the door and become an overcomer. So with that background in mind, you know, I've showed you now what can happen to your life and mine. What can happen to a church which doesn't do anything about going back to our first love. I want to ask you young people today, who is your first love or what is your first love? Answer that question before God. What is your first love or who is your first love? Is it Jesus? One time it was Jesus, but now something else has taken its place. Someone else has taken his place. Repent and come back. You see where you will end up? You'll come to a place where Jesus is outside your life. But still he doesn't give up on you. He goes on knocking. He goes on putting you into difficulties and situations where you will come to an end of yourself and repent. So, there are 5 choices that we have to make every day. 5 choices. If we are to really let the Holy Spirit come upon us, it doesn't happen automatically. There are 5 choices. I want to show you that way. There's no formula here that you say, Lord, baptize me in the Holy Spirit and fire. It does not happen that way. I hope you realize that. So I don't have any formula, but if you make these 5 choices, you and I seek to make these 5 choices every day. Think of your 5 fingers and let be reminded of that every day. These are the 5 choices I want to make. Number 1, Luke chapter 10, verse 41 and 42. What Jesus said to Martha. Only one thing is necessary. It says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, verse 41. But only one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Choose the one thing necessary, only one thing. And what is that one thing? What is the one thing? Lord. What is the one thing? What is the one thing necessary that Mary chose? Lord, I can't hear you. Being with Jesus, yes, but what was Mary doing?
Listening.
That's the one thing necessary. That's where you begin. That's the path. I'm showing you a path in which the anointing can come on your life. God can change you, make you into a different young man, make you into a different young woman. Choose the one thing necessary. I have sought to choose that. I know there are times, sometimes, that I did not choose to listen. And listen to myself, listen to my reason, listen to something I read, or didn't listen at all. So I want to say to all of us, choose the one thing necessary, and that is to listen every day. To listen, to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen. Doesn't mean you spend long time on your knees, you may not have time for that. But when you wake up in the morning, then say, Lord, I want to live this day listening to you, to hear what you have to say. When I go to work, when I go to school or college, then I will listen. and obey that voice. And then you can live a fulfilling day. You can have a good day. To listen, not just listen. You know, Mary listened as a disciple. I want you to see that in Isaiah 50. Go to Isaiah 50. This is how we should listen. Not just, you know, you can listen just like you're listening to me now. But to listen to God, to listen to what Jesus has to say to you, and to listen as a disciple. See, there were, you heard earlier about believers who Jesus said to them, your father is the devil. You read the end of that chapter, they picked up stones to stone him, to kill him. They are believers. They listened. They believed also. And a lot of people would listen and they believe, but you see, the end of it, they wanted to kill Jesus. These are ones who believed in him. There were disciples who followed him. And in one place when Jesus spoke about, you know, eating his flesh and drinking his blood, which was spiritually, that means becoming one with him, they left him. They said, no, this is difficult. We can't hear this. There was another man, he was known as the great power of God, Simon. You read that in Acts 5. Simon the sorcerer, he was known as the great power of God. He believed, he got baptized also. You see what it is? You can listen, you can believe. He got baptized in water. And then he wanted to receive the Holy Spirit. And there his heart was exposed. No, Philip baptized him. Philip was an evangelist. He baptized him. And, you know, like all the others, thought he was a believer, and he went on. But Peter and John, when they came, and this man wanted to receive the Holy Spirit, God exposed his heart. He wanted to get power and fame and reputation. That's why he wanted the Holy Spirit. And Peter said, you have no part in this matter. Your heart is not right before God. You're in the gall of bitterness. And I want to say to all of us that if ever we harbor bitterness or resentment in our hearts, we are in the bondage of iniquity. You read it there. And Peter said to him, repent of this, repent. And he asked Peter, you know, pray for me that none of these things will happen, that I have not come to God's judgment. It's a terrible thing to have bitterness and resentment in your heart towards anybody, even if somebody has done you some harm or wrong. I want to say to anyone here, if you've got bitterness in your heart, you have resentment and anger in your heart, you are like Simon. You will never receive the Holy Spirit in all your life. You will die with bitterness and you will go to hell. I can think of many people that I saved, not I saved, but the Lord saved through me from going into hell. I think of an uncle who I spoke with the last week, and five people that he was bitter, I was one of them. And I said, you cannot enter heaven with bitterness. You've got to release people. You've got to forgive them. Ask God to bring them, even if they are halfway around the world. And that's what God did for this man. Brought somebody that he had bitterness, that he wanted to shoot, kill him. And he came and he was scared to go and even meet him. I said, no. The previous week, I had led him to repent of his sins and commit his life to Jesus. And he had the opportunity to put things right with all five people. The last one was his daughter-in-law. We had to pull the phone, the cord. He was in the ICU. We couldn't get the phone to him. I pleaded with the doctor. I said, let him, this is his family member, this is his daughter. We pulled the phone and he just took the phone and he said, he called her by name. He said, I'm sorry, please forgive me for the way I treated you. She was just weeping on the other end. He took the phone back. He moved his bed back. And in trying to put him on the bed, his head hit the bar of the bed and he went into unconsciousness. That's all. 5:30 the next morning he died. But everybody who saw him said his face was so peaceful. He had the look of an angel on his face. This is just 1 week before he could die. You cannot, I want to say to any of you young people, a lot of things happen in your life. A lot of things can go wrong. People can do things against you. But if you harbor bitterness and resentment in your life, you can never make progress. You will never receive the Holy Spirit. And I want to say, you need to repent of that. If there's anyone here, you've got anger and bitterness in your heart, and you can't release and forgive, you're like Simon in the gall of bitterness. You're on your way to destruction. So, listen as a disciple, not just as a believer. Listen as a disciple. Isaiah 50, I was asking you to look at. Isaiah 50, it says in verse 4, the Lord God has given me the tongue of a disciple, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. You see that? I cannot have the tongue of a disciple if I don't listen as a disciple. It says, the Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. For the Lord God helps me, therefore I am not disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. If you choose to listen as a disciple, God will give you the tongue of a disciple that you can encourage others. And whatever you go through, you will not be disgraced, you will not be put to shame. So let the Lord give you such a listening ear to listen as a disciple. My dear young people, from young, some of you who are teenagers, ask Jesus to give you the ear of a disciple. Then you can have the tongue of a disciple, and then you can receive the Holy Spirit. And there's a very beautiful, I shared this before in Exodus 21, we don't have time to look at it, about that slave who didn't want to leave his master and his wife and children, and said, I don't want to go out free. I want to serve my master. I love my master, and I want to serve him all my life. That's how it is. If we have the ear of a disciple, we say, Lord, I don't want to be a slave of sin. I want to be your slave. I want to love you. And there's a beautiful tradition that they had, or ceremony. They took the slave to the ear, to the door of the entrance, and pierced his ear, like, you know, you ladies pierce their ear, pierced his ear, and he had a ring that symbolized that he was a slave forever. That's how we are to become. That's what Jesus was. He had a ear to listen only to his Father. That's why he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. That's why he can go about doing good, like I was sharing earlier, and healing all those oppressed by the devil. He had given his ear to hear his Father. He said, only what he saw the Father doing, only what he heard from the Father, he did. So choose, the first choice you make every day, choose to listen as a disciple. Choose the only one thing necessary. You will never be sorry. The second thing is, in the same passage there, in Luke chapter 10, choose not to be distracted. If you want to listen as a disciple, you must choose that you're not going to be distracted. You know what Jesus said to Martha? You're worried and bothered about many things. You know, never to be worried and bothered about many things. Whatever it is that worries you, makes you anxious, cast it on the Lord. Whatever it is. You're worried about your future, you're worried about your education, you're worried about what you're going to do, and ultimately when it's time for you to get married. You're worried about all these things. Jesus said, cast it on me, because I care for you. So, that's the second thing. You know, look at your fingers every day. Choose to listen as a disciple. Choose never to get distracted. And like I was sharing a few Sundays ago, that distraction is an addiction. Just like pornography and just like drugs, it's an addiction. All of us suffer from it, even I. But we have to do something about it. And if we recognize, Lord, I am so distracted. You want to pray and you get distracted. You want to read the scriptures and something to distract you. And you want to do something that God has asked you to do, maybe to write an email, maybe to go and meet somebody, but something happens. And it's always something to do with ourselves. Choose never to be distracted. Martha was concerned that she was not getting help. She was concerned about herself. She was worried and bothered. And distraction is always concerning ourselves. It's never for somebody else. So choose, the second thing, choose not to be distracted. And I tell you that we have to do that every day. Like I shared, it's like weeds. We got to pull out by the root, one by one, till I come to a place that I only want to hear what the Lord has to say to me. And to see that distraction is one of the, like I shared in the meeting, when I was sharing on distraction, one of the devil's greatest tools. And it's a devastating weapon. He uses it successfully. And if he can distract you and me from hearing God and from doing God's will, and he has succeeded. So that's the second thing. The third thing I wanted to see is, the third thing, choose to let Jesus have our minds every day. Choose to listen, choose not to be distracted. Third thing, choose to let him have your mind and my mind every day. Because the battle is here, my dear young people. It's in our minds. That's where the battle is. The battle is for our minds. The devil is not looking to lead you into some terrible sin. He wants to get hold of your mind. That's what he did with Eve. He got hold of her mind in the beginning. Did God say that you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? And Eve, in her stupidity, without taking help from her husband, she should have told the serpent, you know, ask my husband. But she thought she was very clever and entered into a conversation, even misinterpreting the command that God gave. And what happened? The devil got her mind. And that's what he does. When we begin to question, you know, we question God and we begin to reason, and that's where the devil can get hold of your mind. That's what Paul's fear, you know, for the church in Corinth. He feared, he said, and look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 11 verses 1 and 2. He says, I have a godly jealousy for you, because I betrothed you as a virgin to Christ. But he says, I'm afraid for you that your minds will be led astray from simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. You see that there? Paul's fear was that the Galatians, you know, they were smart people. He commends them. They were excelled in all the gifts and all that. But he says, yeah, I'm afraid. I'm jealous for you, verse 2, a godly jealousy, but for I betrothed you to one husband, that is to Christ, that I might present you as a pure virgin. I'm afraid, as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness. There you see it. He got hold of her mind, the serpent, that is Satan. And he says, your minds will be led astray from simple and pure devotion to Christ. You see where it begins, where we lose our first love, the devil gets hold of our minds. And if we don't let Jesus have our minds every day, we don't let the Holy Spirit, we don't ask him for the Holy Spirit, who alone can renew your mind and my mind, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. We give our bodies to God, and we are not conformed to the world, we don't let the world squeeze us into its mold. We are transformed by the renewing of our minds. And that only the Holy Spirit can do. And that is where, that's the third choice we got to make every day, that we let Jesus have our mind. We don't give room to reason and speculation. We trust in the Lord with all our heart. It's not that we are zombies or robots, that, you know, God just moved. No, we trust in the Lord with all our heart, and we don't lean on our understanding. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, it talks about the weapons that we use. Paul says, the weapons of our warfare. And what is that? To destroy speculation. Speculation is in the mind. You know, we analyze everything. We question God when we get into difficulty. Why did that happen to me? And God is punishing me. And so many things. And why, you know, why does God do that for somebody else and He doesn't do it for me? And we go on analyzing, questioning God, speculating. Paul says we are to destroy speculation and we are to dethrone reason. If you're going to let Jesus have your mind every day, destroy speculation. You know, speculation is okay for the market, stocks and shares. Not for the kingdom of God. Not in getting to know God. You can't speculate. You can't use your mind. We use our mind, yes, to read, to understand. But we cannot understand God with our minds. We need revelation. And that the Holy Spirit alone can give us that. And we need to give our minds to Jesus and say, Lord, I need the Holy Spirit here. My mind is constantly thinking of worldly things. My mind is constantly being set on the flesh. And Paul says in Romans 8 that if our mind is set on the flesh, we are about to die. For the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. So if I want life and peace, and if I don't want to die spiritually, I have to say, Lord, I cannot. I want to give myself to You. Anoint me with the Holy Spirit and fire. And the Holy Spirit, like on the day of Pentecost, He comes first on our heads. That's why when we pray, we lay hands. There's no power in our hands. But when Jesus lays His hands on your head, the Holy Spirit will come, and that's why He comes first. He immerses you. That's the word there, you know, to understand. As you know, baptism, you heard that Brother Zach has said. It's a word that was invented and created by those who interpreted the Bible because of they didn't want to get into trouble with the king. Because the church believed in infant baptism, baptizing babies. But that means when you're baptized in water, you're immersed in water. That's why we want to, you go down in your head. Sometimes, you know, some people, their head doesn't go down. We have to put them down the second time. So the baptism in the Holy Spirit is an immersion. The Holy Spirit immerses you from head to foot. He comes upon you. He changes you, makes you into another man. He will take hold of your mind and help you to have the mind of Jesus. So that is the third thing, the third choice that you are to make every day. Fourthly, you know, that we choose one thing to do. You know that? We thought of the one thing necessary. Now I want to challenge you to choose this one thing every day that Paul chose. You find that in Philippians in chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. Sorry, verse 13. He talks there about attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Verse 11. Not that I have already obtained it or already become perfect, but I press on so I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. And he said, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do. Here's the one thing. What is it? What is the one thing? Forget the past. That's it. Forget the things that lie behind. Even what happened yesterday. Put it behind you. I was saying to somebody who came and said, you know, she asked for forgiveness for many things. I said, put it behind. You repented of it. You gone and put it right with that person. Put it behind. Something happened yesterday. It's finished. It's past. Something happened this morning. Forget the things that are behind. If you keep looking behind, Jesus said you're not fit for the kingdom of God. That's the fourth choice you have to make. Choose the one thing every day, and that is forget the things that are behind. Your successes and your failures. You failed miserably. Forget it. Put it behind. Today, leave that baggage here as you go out. Don't take it back with you. Whatever it is, you messed up, You've done stupid, foolish things. All young people do that. Just repent. Make sure you don't make those same mistakes again. Now, young people, you're allowed to make mistakes. But don't repent of it and don't make the same mistakes again. You've lived foolishly. You've lived for yourself. Repent of it. Put it behind. I tell you, there's a glorious future. Like Paul says, I want to lay hold of that which Christ has laid hold of me for. God wants to lay hold of your life for what He's laid hold of you for. And that is to give you the life of Jesus. And that is to give you the Holy Spirit who can change you, who can renew your mind, who can help you to put the things behind. God says He does not remember our sins and iniquities anymore. So if you have failed and you have sinned in the past, you don't have to go on being reminded about it. You've repented, put it behind. I just want to say to all of you young people, remember this. So this is the fourth thing, the fourth choice you make every day. That I will forget the things that are behind and press on, it says, toward the goal for the prize or the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And fifthly, in the think of the thumb, choose and ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit every day. Here are five choices that if we make every day, you will have a glorious life. You will fulfill God's purpose. You will find satisfaction and fulfillment. The Christian life for you will be exciting. Choose, first of all, to listen as a disciple. Choose, secondly, not to be distracted every day. And choose to let Jesus have your minds. And choose the one thing every day, that is, forget the things that are behind. And choose and ask the Lord to fill you with His Holy Spirit every day. I tell you, my dear young people, if you make these five choices, starting today, you can see what the Lord will do in your life. In 6 months' time, you will see what God can do in your life. That's all you have to do is surrender and say, Lord, help me to make these five choices. I cannot in my own strength. I understand them in my mind. But Lord Jesus, I need the power of the Holy Spirit. I need the anointing to break every yoke and all bondage in my life. Whatever it is you've been in bondage to. Some besetting sin, some addiction to pornography, or whatever else, drugs, hope not, but Jesus can set you free. If you choose now, Lord, I want to listen. You said something to me, I want to choose to listen. I want to give my ear to you. Will you give me the Holy Spirit to make these five choices every day so that I can fulfill your purpose for my one life on this earth. We're going to close our eyes and let God speak to us as we have felt the need to. And say to Him, Lord, I do not have it in me to make these choices. Be honest before God. I just do not have it in me to make these choices. So many things crowd my mind. But now I want to humble myself before you. I want you to forgive me all my sins. I repent of it. I want you to cleanse me in your blood. I want to choose to put everything behind me. And I know that you forgive me. You don't remember my sins anymore. I want to release and forgive people who have harmed me. Grudges and resentment and anger and bitterness I've harbored in my heart. Lord, I repent of it. I don't want any more for these things to linger in my heart. I want to leave them behind here. I want to get rid of this baggage, Lord. And I want you to send your Holy Spirit upon me. I want to be like you, Lord Jesus. I want God to anoint me with the Holy Spirit and power. Power to make all these choices, to live a godly life, fulfill the purpose of God in my generation. I need that power, Lord Jesus. I pray. You send your Holy Spirit upon me right now. Open my life to you. I want from today to go about doing good and healing others who are oppressed by the devil. And I know that you will be with me. Lord Jesus, I respond to you. Put your hands upon my head. Baptize me in the Holy Spirit and fire. Immerse me. That your Spirit will come upon me, change me, make me into a different person. And I want to say to those of you who have received the Holy Spirit, I want you to offer your life afresh to God and say, Lord Jesus, I'm available. Here am I. Send me, Lord. Send me to people that I can free them from the oppression of the devil. Make me a powerful witness for you. Cry out to him in your heart, my dear young brother, young sister. Cry out to him. You know he's forgiven you your sins, and he's near you, and he will give you the Holy Spirit if you only ask him. Choose to hear today. Hear what the Spirit is saying to you. I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. To seal this commitment that you want to make to Jesus. Lord, I choose to listen to you. I choose to go this way. Help me. I need the power of the Holy Spirit. I need the assurance in my heart. Just stand up. All of us keep our eyes closed. Stand up wherever you are. Acknowledge your need before God. Only if you mean it. Don't stand unless you mean it. And don't worry who's standing and who's not standing. Stand up and say, Lord, I'm a needy young man. I'm a needy young woman. I'm a needy boy. I'm a needy girl. You're not too young. You're teenagers who are here. The Holy Spirit can come upon you if you only ask the Lord. Baptize you right now. You pray in your heart and say, Lord Jesus, thank you for forgiving me my sins. You can pray after me. Lord Jesus, thank you for forgiving me all my past sins. Thank you for your blood which has cleansed me from all my sin. I choose today to listen to you. I want to make these choices every day of my life. I need the power of your Holy Spirit.
I pray that you would baptize me in the Holy Spirit and fire. And give me the assurance that you have met with me. I leave all baggage behind. And I go out as a free person. Because you said, if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. I am free to do your will, Lord. I offer myself to you. In Jesus' name. Lord, you've heard the cries that have gone up from many hearts here. I pray that your Holy Spirit will do his work upon those who have asked you. I pray, Lord Jesus, that those in any kind of bondage would be set free because you set them free. I pray that everyone who is receive the forgiveness of your sins, will be baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire. And know it, Lord, from this day onwards. Put your seal upon them. And give them power over all the schemes of Satan. Help them to be overcomers through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.